Revelation chapter 1. There's a journey that we've been on, and I'd like to just review and then preview this evening as we're getting ready to dive in to a lot of details. We will be, as we dive in, we'll go to left, we'll go to the right, we'll go this direction, we'll go that direction, you know, from Ezekiel to Zechariah to Daniel to different things Jesus said to the last chapter in the Bible, which is a good chapter. It really is. So what I want to do tonight is just look at a little where we've been, just to keep us in context. Most of you are familiar with this, but let's just do it because it's good to do. Chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. Now, it's very important when we understand the word shortly. And we understand Revelation chapter 22, where it says quickly. The word quickly means when it takes place, it's going to be rapid and all of that. And so when God says shortly, one might say, well, it's been thousands of years. Well, you know, how shortly could it be? You know, but in the way that he looks at things, let's just trust him that it's shortly, okay? Shortly take place. And he sent and signified it to his angel, by his angel to his son, servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. So notice what he's bearing witness to. Number one, the word of God. So we've been studying the word of God. We'll continue to do that no matter what. Amen? We will continue to do that. Let the word of God speak to us inductively. Let the word of God speak to us, not necessarily deductively, but inductively, the word interpreting the word. We have to have the word interpreting this because Revelation is very challenging, and there's a lot of different opinions. What I'll share tonight, even just we'll see, there could be different opinions to it, and from good people. And so you have to be a good Berean, remember? Acts chapter 17, search it out. See what the Holy Spirit says to you. I'll share what he has seen to me, shown to me. Today was just an amazing day for me in many, many ways, because as I was getting in this, Lord, I'm going to be responsible to teach from chapter 6 straight on and all that's there again. Do I have it right in my heart? I wanted to make sure. Do I have it right in my heart? What would you say to me? Would there be anything that you would adjust? It's been a long time since I've taught this. So the world's changed, you know, maybe different insights and all that. What would you do? And just struggling through that today. And I just have to tell you, I settled where I've been. So you have to bear with that. But bore witness to the word of God, number one, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, number two, and to all things that he saw. So he's going to share that with us. And then he goes, blessed is he. Underline this, circle this, and remember this. Blessed is he or she. In application, definitely, who reads, and number two, those who hear the words of this prophecy, and number three, keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. I believe the time is nearer than it was when this was written. It's a pretty safe thing, right? How am I doing so far?
Great.
Pretty good? Okay, I'm a real scholar, I can tell. You guys see it. It's written all over me. But it's right there. It's near. Whatever it is, it's near. And I pray that it would be even tonight that we would see that. And so then in verse 9, and I'm not going to read all the way through there, starting in verse 9, you see a vision of the Son of Man. So what he tells us about what's going to happen, then he greets the seven churches and what we see, and then he gives us a vision of the Son of Man, who he is. And we learn so much from that. Then he took us into chapter 2 and chapter 3. And we see all the things about the different churches, and we get insight into what was going on in that church at that time there. But we also get an idea of how it can apply to our church here, individuals in their walks with the Lord, but also the overall movement of the Church of God throughout the century, the Church of Christ throughout the century. So we experienced that, went through that. Then we're ushered into, notice in verse 1 of chapter 4, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Metatauta, after this. Very important. We talked about that. We didn't spend a lot of time looking at the rapture of the church, but we will come back to that. There's a place where we'll come back to that. Looking at this here, I believe personally, to this day, I believe as I've studied that this is where the church is taken out of planet Earth. Now, different people think different things about that, you know, and I just look at it that way. Come up here. Who's he speaking to? I believe he's speaking to the believers, the church at that point. And then after that, different things are going to take place on planet Earth. So we'll come back to that. But then in chapter 4, we just ushered into this wonderful scene with the Father in heaven. And what a beautiful, beautiful insight that we have there. Chapter 5, then as we saw last week, we were right there with Jesus in heaven. John was weeping. Who's going to open the scroll? And it's very important that we understand that. He says in verse 1, and I saw on the right hand of him, the Father, who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Now, it's important to realize that it's not scrolls. It's a scroll. Notice what it says there. It's written inside and on the back. Everything's used up. Space is used up in that way. But it's a scroll that appears, we seem to see, that is rolled up. It's sealed with seven seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept, John said, much, because no one was found worthy to open this and read the scroll or to look at it. No one was found worthy. But then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And so we saw all that, where praise and hallelujahs and wonderful thanksgiving to God, just praise to him, was unleashed in that way to Jesus. And so that's where we are at this point. And then we come to verse 1 of chapter 6. It says, now I saw, when the Lamb, who we saw in chapter 5, opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice, come and see. Not come up here. Not come up here. That has taken place. But come on over here and see. And what we see is pretty devastating in many ways. But he wants the church to see what is going on. He desires not for us to be ignorant. He wants us to understand and pray and be involved in things that are necessary, because what we see here is going to take place. Now go with me to Revelation 22 just for a moment, please. So we'll go through the whole book and we'll get into a lot of the details from come and see. But we come to verse 6 of chapter 22. It says, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. There it is again. These things that must shortly take place. Behold, Jesus says, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. So we must study this book so we can keep the words of this book, that we might be blessed by God, because we do dive into this book and study it. Now, for centuries, people have been told, don't study this book. What a ripoff. What a ripoff. There's reasons why people don't want to teach it or study it, because it's challenging. It's challenging to teach it. You put yourself out there. No one wants to in any way teach something that may not be exactly what God would have. You know, you have to do your best and all that. That's why I constantly go back to, you guys got to be good Bereans, okay? You know, go from there. Yeah, my escape clause. Behold, I am coming quickly. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to be less than 2,000 years. Doesn't mean that it's going to be less than 1,000 years. Doesn't mean that it's going to be less than 500 years, because it's been all of that already, correct? So obviously, just by history and what's taken place on planet Earth quickly doesn't mean that a shortness of time. It means when he comes, he will come rapidly. When these things that we see begin to unfold, they will come rapidly. They truly will. And there's a timing for it. And that's what we're in the midst of waiting for. Now, there's what you call preterist or preterism. They believe that it's already happened. And I'm thinking, I'm sorry, guys. This is not heaven. This is not heaven, okay? All right. There was just a goofy election, okay? Let me tell you, it's not heaven, more like hell. Okay, no. Only kidding, okay? You know? But anyway, so this is not heaven, right? Would anybody find agreement? Yes. Not heaven. Where did it get stuck up with preterism? I don't know. You know, crazy things that people believe. I just look at them and I go, foolishness. No, I don't put down a person. Like, even I don't put down Mormons. But I think what they believe is wrong. It's cultish and all that. But I don't put them down. I won't do that to a Jehovah Witness. They're people that God has created, and they're people that Jesus died for. Amen? So we must have that attitude about all people in that way. We should love. But he says, behold, I am coming quickly, because blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that. John constantly was falling down because he was in the presence of awesome creatures in that way. And he says, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Worship God. Isn't that wonderful when we do that? Worship God. I mean, they tried to take that away from us. And I understand, you know, we walk through and all of that, and I understand what they're trying to do and all that, but we should never allow anybody to take that away from us. Just being able to worship God together and all that. So there's a lot that goes into that, but we are to worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And there's a timing. There's a fullness of time that we see in Scripture. In verse 11, it says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. Okay? You're going to be unjust? Okay? You've set your path in place. You've set your life into motion. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still, if that's what they're going to be. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, Jesus says, verse 12, I am coming quickly. Bring it on, Lord Jesus. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So we think of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, correct? Everybody familiar with that? Go there, please. We'll put our just a little bit side direction here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You guys know where I'm going, but it's good to touch base there. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 11. For there is no other foundation, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone, that'd be you and I, builds on this foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, each one's work, that which we do, will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of which sort it is. That which we do needs to be for the glory of God. Amen? It's that simple. If it's not, if it's for the glory of Bill, or for put your name there, if it's a glory for whatever it is, it will not make it through. It will burn and will suffer loss in a sense. But that which we yield to the Lord, we do it for his glory, then he's going to reward us for that. I think that's amazing. Heaven's just great enough, don't you think? Okay, I'll take heaven, Lord. I'll be happy with that. But you're going to give me more than that? That's what the Bible says. If anyone's work there in verse 14, which he has built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. Wow. Well, verse 13, And each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it was. Then again, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Praise the Lord. Yet so as through fire. So go back to Revelation again there that we see. Hold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. And I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, and the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Hate to be stuck outside, wouldn't you guys? But so many are choosing to be there. But that's our privilege, to talk to people, to share with them, witness to them about Jesus. In verse 16, he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride said, come. There's that word again. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. You wonder why anybody would be very cautious if they're going to teach the word? Okay. Boy, I don't want to, Lord, I don't want to add anything. I really don't. You know, I want to know, but it's not that easy. It's just not that easy, you know, from this commentary to that commentary, to listen to this person I trust, to listen to that person I trust, search it out in my heart, compare Scripture with Scripture, go to Old Testament, New Testament, filter through and all. It takes time, and time is precious. And so it's a wonderful privilege, it is, but we must be careful when we handle this book, because he says, if anyone takes away, verse 19, of the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part in the book of life, from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. It's that serious. I don't know if anybody's ever seen, first time they've seen these verses, but it's that serious to teach the word. But may I encourage you, teach the word. You know, teach the book of Revelation. Share it, study it, because there's such great blessing in doing it. And then he wraps it up in verse 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's go back to chapter 6, please. So we are looking at a part of Scripture that is very, very challenging. Very challenging. Now, how many have ever had like a telescope? I forget the name. If you got the name, let me know. Kaleidoscope? No, isn't that the thing that goes like this? No. This is the one that I had with a kid. As a kid, it was real collapsed like this. Periscope?
Goes like this.
Yeah, well, that's on a submarine. Is it called a periscope?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever it was that I had. And you guys remember, if I remember correctly, because I was a kid a long time ago, okay? Okay, so anyway, I remember that you had it, and it was condensed down, and you could see only so much. Right? You seem to see it clearly, but you could only see so much. So then what you did is you went like, right? I think it's a telescope, isn't it? Spyglass? Yeah, you really got me confused. Okay. But anyway, you got this thing, and all of a sudden, you know, you pull it out, and it goes, no, and it's right there. And now all of a sudden, your vision is not just there, it's like there, right? And then with the one I had, you could go again, you know, and all of a sudden, not just there, but not just there, but then there. You could see this. That's what's happening right now. Okay? That's exactly what's happening right now. Chapter 6 is all the way pushed back in. All right? But you can't get to the next one out until you get to the seventh seal. And when you get to the seventh seal, all of a sudden, it's expanded further. But you can't get out further than that until you get to the seventh trumpet. Did I say seal twice? Seventh seal gets you into the judgment. Trumpet judgments. And then you get in there, and then you get into the vial or the bowl judgments. And it begins to open up even more at that point. That's all that we're doing. We're flowing through this book, and God's given us revelation. He's building upon his revelation. He's taking us further step by step, but there's a lot in here. Again, verse 1, chapter 6. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice, come and see. You guys see it? Come, look at me right now. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. And so we want to see everything that's there. Am I being stupid, or I'm just trying to make a point, guys? I really am. Trying to give a visual, okay? Poor one, I know, but anyway. That's what's going on. But before we get there, let's go back to Matthew 24, please. For the words of Jesus that are driving this. This wonderful chapter. Then, verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another, and that shall not be thrown down. Jesus is going to take an object lesson, and he's going to open up the end times to his disciples, because he doesn't want them to be without knowledge. He doesn't want us to be without knowledge. Then he says, it goes on, now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, hey, Lord, what's up? Tell us, when will these things be? Number one question. And a lot of people see just these next is a number two question, but there's two parts to it. Some see it as three questions. Chuck Smith was one that emphasized three questions. But tell us where, when will these things be? And number two, we see, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And so Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Might you underline that? Take heed, ladies and gentlemen, that no one deceives you. Even the words that I say tonight, and I will continue as we go through here, you filter them. I give you permission. You can have a different point of view. But if in some way I'm scripturally inerrant, I want to know. And I do. I want to grow and I want to learn. I'm not the master of anything, but I have a strong opinion. I've studied it. I've listened to other people that I value. But Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you. For many, okay, as we go through life, obviously, too, being deceived by Scripture, but other deception could come. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now, my mind goes back to the North Park Theater back in San Diego, California, one Sunday morning. And we're standing there, and everybody's coming in, and all the people are coming in. It's just a great Sunday morning, you know, and the auditorium is filling up and all. And so as I'm standing there, and I'm watching the people come in, all of a sudden about four or five different guys with white robes and staffs come in like this, you know. And I don't know if you remember them. I do. Just came in. And I thought, these guys are pretty easy to see. You know, and they're deceivers. They're what you called an extension of the Jesus only people, Jesus only. And so they were professing that they had the answer and they were the way, and they wanted to come in there and they wanted to rip people off. Guess what we did? We say, that's the way you go. You don't stay here. We watch. All of us watch. Remember so many different times, you know, during the years, just to see that there's there that those that want to deceive. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So there will be false messiahs. We see that. There will be world violence that we see beginning here in verse 7. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. This is just the beginning of it. So what we see here in the beginning of the sorrow, false messiahs. Are there false messiahs now? Yeah, but nothing like what's going to hit planet Earth. Is there world violence right now? Nothing that's going to like what's going to happen, though, in the future. I don't think we're there yet. People go, well, how close are we, Bill? Well, I don't know. I know we're closer than we were yesterday, and I'm just going to rest in that, like I said earlier. I'm just going to rest in that. I'm just not a prophet. God hasn't spoken to me, so I do not know when the rapture is going to come, but I thought it was yesterday. But it hasn't come today, you know, so we can do that. Just trust that. I want to be looking for it. I want to be looking for that rapture. I want to be looking for the return of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be sleeping. I want to be looking and believing that he could come today. Get us out of here, Lord. Right? Get us out, because it's got to be better than this. I mean, I enjoy life and all of that. I love my wife and my kids and my grandkids, my granddaughters. Woo! Granddaughter special, you know. But all of those things. But to be with Jesus, how wonderful that would be. How truly wonderful. And so nation will rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Someday it's going to, and we're heading there. Do you guys see it, though? You see it, don't you? Don't you sense it? Or am I just goofy? Just seems like it's different than it was last year. What happened? Somebody said something. Yo, that's not nice. Tracy, you're ushering tonight, aren't you? Debbie, do that. Oh, because it's a woman. Okay. But it's there. It's there. And that means we got to tell people about Jesus. Why would we not? I mean, think about it. If we could just take a trip to heaven, you know, and come back down, would we be excited? What could hold us back? So I'm speaking to myself. Why don't I talk as much? You know, John and I had lunch today, and nice waitress, right? Very, very nice. And I kicked myself because we had a nice conversation, didn't we, with her? And I didn't get, well, do you go to church? You know, and going from there. I don't think we did ask her that, no. No, we didn't do that. And we can't miss opportunities. We really can't. Why? Because nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. It's building. It's not going to be a grandiose thing to be a Christian. It is from our perspective, but not from the world. They're coming after us. Am I stupid? They're coming after us. Just step back a little bit. I hope that doesn't bum anybody out. I don't, you know, it's the truth. They're coming after us. Because we know that the devil's back there, and he's coming after us. So he'll use anything that he can to come after us. But greater is he that is in me than what? We don't have to be afraid. Be confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you. He will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. We've got all these promises. You know, we're victorious amidst the battle. We talked about all these things, and I'm very careful when I give one side to give that side too. So, you know, we don't go too far down the road. We understand that they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. So when we get into this time, as we go into Revelation here a little further, when we get into that time, we see that this type of stuff is just going to explode. We see things like this happening now, but we're not in that time yet. I don't believe we're there yet. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, what? Shall be what? Saved. Praise the Lord. We can do that. and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And so we see this wonderful picture there. Now go with me to Revelation. Keep your finger, we'll come back to that. Revelation chapter 6. We see that in the words of Jesus, but in the words of John, what he experienced, I believe we see similarities. What we saw in Matthew was false messiahs. We saw world violence. We saw natural disasters, severe religious persecution, terrible apostasy, in other words, betrayal and division. We saw the rising of many false leaders offering false hope. We saw a great falling away, sin increasing and love growing cold. We saw some enduring and being saved, and we saw world evangelism. But look what happens beginning in verse 2 of Revelation chapter 6. And I looked, come and see, verse 1. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Who is that? Who is this? It's the Antichrist. We'll see why. This is a picture of the Antichrist. And you'll see in what the crown, which you'll see, is, as we go through this, you'll see this. Don't feel bad if you thought Jesus Christ, because that's what it seems at first, but it's not him. This guy's coming to battle in a different way. Watch as you go through, because we're in the midst of the first seal, and the curses are coming upon the planet. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, because he's going to come to fight against people. And a crown, and you'll see that it was a certain crown. It wasn't the crown of the Lord Jesus. Was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Then verse 3, and he opened the second seal. That was just the first seal when the Antichrist, I believe, is unleashed. I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Then another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. And so right there we see conflict upon the earth. Then verse 5, we see scarcity or famine. We see war in verses 3 and 4. Then we see famine. So similarities of what we see in Matthew chapter 24. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. Again, here's this invitation. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. So scarcity is what it's being spoken of there in this time of tribulation. Then verse 7, we see the fourth seal, speaking of death. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it is death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over the fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. And so it continues on. Just bear a little bit more with me. You go into verse 9 and you see the fifth seal, the cry of the martyrs. Then when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? So it appears that in the beginning of this time period, the seven-year time period that will develop further, that you see this taking place, and there's those that are being martyred. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was complete. Not a good picture, is it? That's why I like the pre-tribulation rapture. You know, that there's many other reasons, but that's good. One good one there. The sixth seal, cosmic disturbances, verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Would Christians be hiding then? No. We can go through difficulties, but we're still looking, right? And I think the Christians are going to be looking. This is not Christians. So something, I believe, has taken place. We see there in verse 9, there's a lot of martyrs that have taken place. I'm not saying that there's no Christians there, but it's getting less and less from the way I study this, less and less in that way. And so you have these parallels happening in this way here. Now go back to Matthew chapter 24 again. So Jesus takes us a little further out with, what did we decide what it was called, a telescope or spyglass? Okay, spyglass. Well, Jesus takes us a little bit out into what many call the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation, beginning in verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. As we go into this, I believe this happens 3.5 years into the tribulation. There's peace and safety, all kinds of things are going on. Difficulties are coming through that. But I believe this, the revelation of this right here, the abomination desolation, to me comes 3.5 years into what we might call the tribulation. But here we're heading into the Great Tribulation, spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the place, whoever reads. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. We're getting close to the end. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of the house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. There's an urgency. You got to get out of there. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in this day. And pray that your flight may be not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. Now, speaking to the Jewish, a lot of this is directed toward the Jewish people, of course. For then there will be great tribulation. See that word, great tribulation? Such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no nor ever shall be. So whatever we're experiencing now, there's more earthquakes, there's more tornadoes, there's more hurricanes, there's more different things that we see, but it's not like this. It's not like this in the end times. And unless those days, verse 22, were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, these days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. Be careful. Those that are going to be in this time and they're going to be reading the scriptures that are still on planet Earth, there's a warning there. Do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. It's a powerful deception. See, I have told you beforehand. So Jesus said, I'm telling you beforehand. I'm warning you ahead of time. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. When he comes back, truly, he's going to come back in an awesome way. And so people will see. And then look what happens after this, beginning in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the new moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four corners, from one end of heaven to another. He's going to return. Amen. Special time that we see there. Go with me to Revelation, please. Again. Verse 19, or chapter 19. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants, shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God. Those are the ones that we saw in chapter 5. Worship God who sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the supper has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Praise the Lord. Yes. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's you and I. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called righteous, or was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Now, who's on this white horse? Jesus. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except Jesus. He was clothed, except himself. He was clothed with a robe and dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Who is that again? Jesus. And the armies in heaven, clothed with fine linen, white and clean, followed him in white horses. That's his people. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it should shine or strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Yeah. So all of these things that we see, Matthew, the words of Jesus. We talked about the book of Revelation, the beginning of chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Now we're open up chapter 6. Listen to what happens between chapter 6 and where we are here. We will see that the world is going to experience an increase in natural disasters. We talked about that. And also destructive, that whole areas of the world will be devastated. That's where the world is going. Number two, we will see that a great charismatic leader is to arise upon the world scene, who will become so evil that he can only be described as a beast. He will be the Antichrist, a man who will have the answers to peace and to some of the world's terrible problems in the beginning. We will see that once the Antichrist has consolidated his power over a number of nations, he will institute a worldwide loyalty to the state, what might be called a state religion. Every citizen, Now, can you guys see that foreman? Okay, can you see it, foreman? It's not there, but it's foreman. They're showing us. They've learned how to control the population of the world. You hear me say that before. Is that not true? They have learned how to do that. Okay, and I don't say that to make us afraid. I really don't, because I'll keep my eyes on Jesus, but we got to keep our eyes on the reality of what's going on. They know how to do it, and they're going to perfect it. Okay, that's not a pretty picture, but who do we serve? Okay, greater is he is in, again, than he that is in the world, okay? But it's coming. It's coming. Every citizen will be required to give his loyalty to the state as a great provider and protector of its citizens. We will see that the Antichrist will turn from the good that he will do and launch the worst evil the world has ever known. He will instigate the worst Holocaust ever feared by man. A Holocaust that will slaughter literally millions and millions of people, people of all religions who refuse to keep their first loyalty and allegiance to the state, who refuse to make it that way. We will see that the government, society, and the religion of the world will become so evil under the Antichrist that God will make the decision to go ahead and judge the ungodly and evil of the world and end the world history as it's been known. We will see that the judgment of God will fall upon the people, the great seal judgments that right here in chapter 6, which will bring famine and disease, killing one-fourth of the world's population. That will come. We will see that the great trumpet judgments will bring violent storms, volcanic eruptions, a meteor fallout, and also devastating that one-third of the earth's vegetation, seas, and water supply will be destroyed. Tough, isn't it? That's why we have to witness to whomever we can. Keep them out of the tribulation. We will see that there will be a plague of locust-like creatures that will torment all the ungodly and evil of the world. We will see that there will be a plague of demonic military horsemen who will kill one-third of the population of the earth. We will see that the end will come as the seven bowl judgments fall upon the earth. The bowl judgments are the final judgments that end world history. We will see ulcerous sores hit the human race. We will see the total population of pollution of sea and fresh water supply, the sea and the fresh water supply of the earth, and the death of all sea life. We will see that the rays of the sun will hit the earth with a scorching heat, and then pitch black darkness will strike the earth. We will see the most massive military buildup and the largest army ever witnessed by the earth will be launched by the Antichrist, more than likely 250 million coming from the east. Anybody knows what's in the east? It's building, isn't it? It is. Foundations are being laid. Watch China. Watch China. And I'm not repeating Trump, okay? I'm repeating what's obvious before our eyes, okay? We will see the Antichrist and his massive army will be destroyed, yay, in one moment's time at the first battle, the last battle of the human race. We will see that the Lord Jesus Christ will usher in the millennium, a period of 1,000 years when he will rule and reign upon the earth. And we'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ will destroy Satan and the present heaven and earth and judge the dead and at the great white throne judgment of God. And we will see that the Lord Jesus Christ will create a new heaven and a new earth. Praise the Lord. But we got to get to the end. Got to go through the middle. But we got to be prepared beforehand so we can get out of here. Stay close to the Lord. In closing, see what time it is. In closing, 2 Peter, please. Go to 2 Peter. Chapter 3. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? May we commit to stay close to Jesus. Amen. May we commit to be in the scriptures. May we commit to be in prayer and fellowship and being concerned about one another. Looking, verse 12, for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Amen? Amen. So we just took an overall view. Good stuff, challenging stuff, but someday we will be with him forever and ever. And an encouragement, may we just turn and burn for the Lord. May we pray for a revival. And may it start with you and I, okay? And Ed, where are you? You way back there? Come on up, you guys. Let's bow and pray. Lord, thank you so much. I pray that the word is an encouragement tonight. It's also a challenge to us too. But thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord. I truly believe that you'll take your church out of this situation. But there'll be people that will turn their lives over to you. And Lord, they're going to need to be strong. But let us be strong too, Lord. Work in our lives in a powerful way. Pray that your Holy Spirit would rest upon us and do us with power from on high, Lord. Do what you can only do in our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen.